Today's exciting because today is, we're going to be starting a new series. And we're going to be talking over the next few weeks about unwrapping some of the names of Jesus. And so I believe that names are important. You know, when we had our kids, we went at great lengths to name them and to name them the right names. You know, it's like for a while we liked to name Ethan for Bennett. And so it would have been Evan, Aaron, and Ethan, but we decided we didn't want to do that. And so when we found out that Aaron was pregnant with Genevieve, we were going to name her Vivian instead of Genevieve. And but we ended up naming her Genevieve. Fun fact, the average name of Genevieve in the United States is someone of, I think it's 85 years old. So praise the Lord, she fits the name to a T. But people's names are important, and they identify who they are, and parents often choose names as indicators as who, like what they want their kids to be like. You know, you name your kid, and Bennett means blessed, and we want him to be a blessing, and Genevieve means tribal woman, and we want her to be a tribal woman, praise the Lord. And so it's an indicator of what parents, maybe what they see in their kids, what they want their kids to be. Maybe they just like the sound of the name. I met a girl a while ago, and her name was Macadangdang. And so maybe you just like the sound of the name. But when we look through the pages of the Bible, we find different names for God. And those names, I think, help us better understand him. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be unwrapping some of the names of Jesus during the Christmas season so that we can hopefully better understand who Jesus is. And so I actually brought a gift today. This isn't a gift necessarily for me, but it's a gift from the Heavenly Father. And so it's wrapped very nicely. Does anyone like opening gifts? Yeah, okay. Would someone like to come up here and open up this? I wrapped this week, this morning. It's very wonderful. Coming up, let's give her a hand. So this is a special gift. This is the name that we're going to be unwrapping for Jesus. Go ahead, you can open it up. Man, there's no respect for the wrapping paper here. Okay, do you want to read that for everyone?
The Lion of Judah.
The Lion of Judah. Yeah, let's give her a hand. Hold on one second. I'm going to see if I can put this up behind me somewhere. And I think I put this together backwards, so hold on one second. Can everyone see that? Okay, the Lion of Judah. So if you guys have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me real quick to Revelation chapter 5. And we're going to start there, but then we're also going to jump back into Genesis a little bit. And it's funny, like as I started getting into this name for Jesus, the Lion of Judah, I realized that this could actually probably be a month's or 2 months' worth of sermons because it's really a lot to unpack, but I'm hoping that I'm able to do it successfully today in the next 3 hours. So Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and this is John. This is John the Revelator. He is sitting on the island of Patmos, and he gets a vision from the Lord. And if you've read the book of Revelation, it's the last book of the Bible. I don't know if you've read it before, but if you read the book of Revelation, it's just filled with like powerful symbolism, and it speaks of really the. I think what he's speaking here is he's speaking of a time that's going to be the end of the age, and so as John is sitting there and he's having this vision, he's writing down what he's seeing, and so this is what it says in Revelation chapter 5. It says, and then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. Seeing this vision. And he said, and I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seal and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or look inside of it. And you look at his response, and it says, "And I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or to look inside." And then one of the elders said to me, again, I think this is speaking of, he's speaking of the end of the age. He says, "And then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah.'" The Lion of the tribe of Judah, "the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Lord, I just pray this morning that you will, again, just minister to us, God. I pray that your truth will ring forth and that your truth will speak to us, God. We know that your truth is, your word is living and active. And we know it's like a mighty hammer that bashes the rocks to pieces. And so, God, we just pray that your word will speak to us this morning, God. I pray that you'll minister to us through these passages of Scripture, and we ask this in your holy name. Amen. The Lion of Judah, it's an interesting phrase that it's mentioned here in the book of Revelation as John is writing down what he's seeing on the island of Patmos. But actually, if you go backwards and if you kind of track that phrase throughout Scripture, you can see that this scripture, this phrase, the Lion of Judah, this isn't the first time it's mentioned. In fact, you can go back and you can find connections with it in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Hosea. And the gospel writers were also, you can look at the genealogies in both Matthew and Luke, and they were both, they took time to point out that Jesus specifically came from the tribe of Judah. You can read it in Matthew chapter 1, verse 2. You can read it in Luke chapter 3, verse 33. And so you see that he's specifically, the gospel writers are purposefully taking some time and saying, Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. Can you guys say that with me? Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. One more time. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. So it's mentioned in Revelation, but also two of the gospel writers point to it specifically. You can find it in Hosea and Isaiah. But I'm going to go further back. So we're going to go further back than the Gospels. And we're going to go further back. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 49 for a moment this morning. And so hopefully I'm not jumping around too much today, but Genesis chapter 49 today. So there was a man named Jacob. And he had some sons. And he was nearing the end of his life. And so he's at the end of his life. And as he is nearing the end of his life, this was common in biblical times that the father would speak a blessing over the sons. And so, in fact, if you read chapter 49 there, you can see that Jacob speaks blessings over all 12 of his sons. He goes and he speaks to them, and he, my sister, it's funny, her husband's name is Jacob, and they're going to name their son Benjamin, or they're talking about naming their son Benjamin. And I was like, that's perfect, because Benjamin was one of Jacob's sons. And if you look at what Jacob says to Benjamin, he says, "Benjamin, you're going to be like a ravenous wolf." And so I'm like, that's perfect. That's a perfect name for your son, Benjamin. But Jacob is here, and he's speaking a blessing over his sons. And some of the things that he's saying to them aren't necessarily great things. In fact, he sees some negative things in some of their futures. But really, he's speaking blessings over his sons. And again, these are like kind of his last words. And so he's talking to them, and he's saying, you know, this is for you, and this is for you, and this is for you. And really, I think what was happening here is like Jacob was speaking, but also the Holy Spirit was speaking through Jacob. And so that Jacob was able to see things that were supernatural here in the moment as he's giving his last words to his sons. And so if you look at Genesis chapter 49, verse 8, it's interesting, he says this. He said, "Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies, and your father's sons will bow down to you." Judah? your brothers will praise you. You know, it's interesting because actually if you go back even further, you can see that, and again, I'm sorry, I'm jumping. I'm trying to encompass all this. If you go back even further to the time when Jacob had his four sons with Leah, she named the first son Reuben, and she said, behold, it's a son, and like, his Reuben means behold a son. She named the second one Simeon, which means the Lord has heard. She named Levi. She's like, well, now maybe my husband will be attached to me. So she named the next one Levi. And then she named her final son Judah. And it says that when she named him Judah, she named him Judah because Judah means praised. And so it's an interesting connection. So Jacob is speaking of, so his wife named Judah because she praised the Lord when he was born. But also, significantly, he's looking at Judah here as he's praying his blessing, and he said, your brothers will praise you, and your hand will be on the necks of your enemies. You know, it's interesting because when you look at the life of Judah, his life was, it's interesting because he really wasn't actually that great of a guy, I don't think, unless I'm reading the text wrong. He, you know, you can kind of see that he kind of made one bad decision after another bad decision after another bad decision. He had some jealousy issues. He threw his brother into a cistern and debated killing him. He sold his brother Joseph into slavery. He told his father Jacob that Joseph was dead. He had bad relationships with his daughter-in-law, Tamar, who was posting as a prostitute. Like, there's tons of crazy stuff when you look at the life of Judah. And yet, through the inspiration of Scripture, God is speaking through Jacob to his son Judah, and he's saying, your brothers will praise you, which seems like, oh my goodness, when you look at Judah's history and you look at the things that he's done, it's like, I don't understand why anyone would praise this guy. But it's interesting because as you continue to read and you continue to move through the Bible, you realize that this prophetic word of Judah, not only from his name, but also from the blessing that his father gave him in Genesis chapter 49, was a true proclamation of what was going to happen to him and to his family line. You can see that King David was praised and was from the house of, from the line of Judah. You can see that Solomon was praised and was from the line of Judah. Prophetically speaking, you can see that Jesus was from the line of Judah. And you can see that in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, and after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem, because he knew of the prophecy that was spoken back in Genesis chapter 49. And if you turn over to Luke chapter 2, it says, the shepherds, after they saw Jesus, returned glorifying and praising God. Your brothers will praise you. Again, it was a fulfillment of Scripture of what had happened in Genesis chapter 49. You move later on in Jesus' life, when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, the week before he was to be crucified. And we can, and in Luke chapter 19, verses 37, it says, and when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd were like, teacher, you need to rebuke these guys. You need to rebuke your disciples. And he said, I tell you, if they were not quiet, the stones would cry out. All these scriptures are fulfillment of prophecy that God had made through Jacob to Judah almost 1,700 years before Jesus was born. And so you move to Revelation chapter 5 once again, and it says that he is the Lion of Judah. He is the Lion of praise. Jesus being from the tribe of Judah signifies, it's a fulfillment of prophecy, that Jesus is worthy of our praise. You know, again, it's this time of year. We're busy people. We have lots of things going on. I feel like we have the ladies' Christmas party. We have our celebration service. I have my work Christmas party. I have our New Year's Eve service. I have the staff Christmas party. I have the party with my family, of course. You know, we're going to have a party on Christmas Day. We have all sorts of fun things happening. And sadly, I'm almost all out of vacation time, so I have to go all the way through it and not take any time off. I'm like, no. But I just feel like life is so hectic and crazy and insane. And I feel like, man, I almost have something going on every day. And, you know, I work, and then I do stuff at the church, and then I all these things that are happening. And maybe you're like me this morning. Maybe you are looking to your December, and you're like, oh, Lord, give me strength. Have you ever had a week like that where you're just like, Lord, give me strength. I just have to survive. Have you ever had a week like that or a month like that? All the time, my wife said, thank you, sweetheart. But I think it's important for us to remember in this crazy Christmas season that Jesus is worthy of our praise. You know what I'm talking about? And it's a fulfillment of prophecy. It's a fulfillment of what was spoken thousands of years ago. When Jacob looked at his son and he said, you know what? Your brothers will praise you when you see it happening again and again and again and again and again. So I want to encourage you, if things in your life seem hectic, if things in your life seem out of place, if things in your life seem like, oh my goodness, I just got way too much going on all the time, remember to take some time to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because really when you think, that's what this season is all about. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the Lion of praise. I mean, think about his parents. His parents, somebody's going, yeah, you know what? I'm going to praise the Lord regardless. You know, I know my husband doesn't necessarily like me. In fact, behold, I have a son. Maybe he's going to like me now. I'm in misery, so I'm, you know. But I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to name my son Praise. I'm going to name my son Judah. I'm going to praise the Lord in spite of everything that's happening. May I challenge you during this Christmas season, remember to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah. If you keep on reading in verse 9, he says, you are a lion's cub. And again, this is a connection. So a connection with praise, a connection with lion, a connection with Judah. You see this play on words where it's like, whoa, okay. So in verse 9, he says, you are a lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. I'd love to talk to Bennett that way. It's like, Bennett, you are a lion's cub. But he's like, he's speaking like, you are a lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, he dares to rouse you. Judah, you are like a lion. The Lion of Judah. It's interesting. He doesn't say that... Judah, you are a lion. You are one of many lions. But he says, you are the lion. You are like a lion. And the Lion of Judah in Revelation chapter 5. That's what I'm speaking of. The Lion of Judah in Revelation. It's not a lion. It's not many lions. But it is the Lion of Judah. A lion symbolizes power and fierceness and majesty and kingship. Lions are the king of the wild. They are the king of the beasts. They have amazing night vision. They can run very quickly. They can roar in the open field. They say you can hear a lion's roar from 5 miles away. If you come across a lion in the jungle, they are to be respected and feared. And we are to stand at both awe and reverence of our king. Because our God is mighty and he's powerful. He provides hope in the wilderness. He is a conqueror. He has triumphed over temptation and sin. He has triumphed over pain and suffering. He has triumphed over fear, over death, and he has even conquered the devil himself. I love what it says in Romans chapter 8. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall troubles or hardship, or persecution, or famineness, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As is written, For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. He says, no. And all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Because of Jesus, we have also triumphed, and we are more than conquerors in his name. He is the Lion of Judah, the Lion of our praise. If you keep on reading in verse 10, it says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. And again, Jacob is speaking to Judah, and he is prophetically speaking of what's going to be happening in the future. And so when speaking of the scepter, you think about King David was from the line. He had the scepter, and then Solomon was in the line, and he had the scepter, and then the northern kingdom fell by the Assyrians, and the southern kingdom fell by the Babylonians, and then the Roman Empire came in and conquered Israel through Pompey in 60 BC, and all these things are happening, and I can imagine maybe the people of Israel feeling discouraged. Maybe they're looking and they're like, man, this prophecy that was spoken, it just hasn't happened yet. All these terrible things have happened. The Assyrians have knocked down the northern kingdom, and the Babylonians have knocked down the southern kingdom, and the Romans have come in and conquered everything. And man, we're just waiting for something to happen. We're kind of discouraged, and it's been years of silence, and I just don't see that God has been moving. I just don't see that God has been doing anything. And so they're thinking, we know about this prophecy in Genesis, and we know that there's going to be another king who is going to be coming, a king who has a scepter. We know that he's coming, and we know it's going to happen, but we're kind of hoping that when he comes in splendor and majesty, and we think that he's going to overthrow everyone and we're going to reign victorious. But when Jesus came, he didn't come in splendor or majesty or a palace filled with wonderful things. He didn't come in a 1985 DeLorean. He didn't come riding a majestic horse. He didn't come driving a new Maserati. He didn't come with lots of money, with lots of gold, with lots of riches. He didn't come with seemingly much power at all. But he was born to a young virgin named Mary in a small, off-the-path town of Bethlehem in a manger, in a feeding trough, which was meant for animals. Yet in Matthew it says that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And if you keep on reading about the king in verse 11, he will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. Like, wine indicated wealth in the Bible. And so what he's saying here is this king is going to come, and this guy is going to have an abundance of wine. He's not just going to have a little bit of wine. He's not just going to have a tidbit of wine. But he's going to have an abundance of wine. Enough wine to get his robes wet. Enough wine to roll around. He's going to have an abundance. This kingdom is going to be full and overflowing. And he's speaking of the beauty of the king with his white teeth and his dark eyes. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Actually, if we could cue up have a video we're going to show here in just a minute. But Jesus is the Lion of Judah. He deserves all of our praise. Judah means the Lion of Praise, but also not only does he deserve all of our praise, but also he is to be the king of our life. And not just a portion of our life. I think it's easy to let God, you know, God, I'll let you be in charge of my finances. God, I'll let you be in charge of my kids because they need help. God, I'll let you be in charge of my work. But Jesus wants to be the king of your life. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's not be distracted this Christmas season. Let's not be pulled to the left or to the right. But let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith.